Good evening, church. It is great to see everybody here this evening. Show of hands, how many of us like money? Better see a lot of hands out there. I like money, right? Money's great. Now, start to like it too much, then things start to go a little bit sideways. Okay, show of hands again, how many of us have money? That's where my hand drops. Now, everybody keep those hands up so I can memorize them. That way, when I ask for donations at the end of this. I'm kidding. I'm not going to ask for donations. I will take them, though. It's not a great start, is it? I'm sorry. All right. Last question for our little interactive segment. How many of you currently carry cash on you, or at least did at one point? Decent amount. Now, I venture to say if I asked this, you know, a few years back, it may have been more. It seems like cash, you know, is kind of going out the window. Everybody's got their credit cards and stuff. Most of us have at least carried cash on us at one point in time. Now, I'm sure that a lot of that cash that you have on you or had was probably from your bank. But when your bank isn't nearby and you need some cash, where do you go? Don't say you steal it from somebody. Go to an ATM, right? I'd venture to say that a lot of us have gone to an ATM at one point or another. And this evening, I'm going to talk about being a Christian ATM. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. Now, if you don't know much about me or my line of work, I work for a company called QSI Banking. Got my little shirt on. Now, we are not an actual bank ourselves, but we service and install bank equipment. Things like camera systems, cash recyclers, coin counters, vault doors, the drive-up vacuum tubes, and ATMs are all examples of what we work on for banks like ProFed, Star, Midwest America, First Merchants right down the road, and the list goes on. It's a pretty long list. So long story short, when these banks have an issue with their machines or tools that they use, they call us out, and hopefully we come out and fix it. Now, the majority of what we work on, at least for myself, is ATMs. So that's where I got this message idea from. I think that there are a lot of comparisons that we can make between our Christian walk and, oddly enough, an ATM. So that's what we'll be going over this evening. And hopefully by the end of it, you'll be more like a Christian ATM or a Christian anchored in the truth of our Maker. In there?
Yeah.
Just getting started. ATMs, like us humans, are pretty complex machines, and it would take a good while to talk about all the components of them. So, to keep it short, I've taken three major components of the ATM that we'll use for our lesson this evening, and we'll compare them with three major components of our Christian walk. These major components are absolutely necessary in order for the ATM to successfully carry out its purpose. Likewise, these three components of our Christian walk are absolutely necessary for us to carry out our purpose according to God's Word. Without these three components, we are severely at risk of succumbing to Satan's attacks. So, without further ado, let's get into our first component. Security. Now, the first thing that comes to mind when one thinks about an ATM is, well, besides money, first thing that comes to mind is probably being broke. The second thing then that comes to mind is likely some aspect of the machine's physical security. Whether it be a lock safe, cameras watching over the machine, or some type of alarm system, an ATM cannot exist without security. Okay, that isn't totally true. An ATM can exist without security, but it will probably need refilled bit more often than your typical ATM. If proper security is not set in place, the ATM will likely be broken more often than not. Just like an ATM needs to be protected from the attacks of the world, we Christians need protection from the attacks of Satan. Perhaps the most overlooked aspect of an ATM's security is that of a strong foundation. A machine needs to have a strong foundation to prevent from various different attacks that typically involve some sort of larger vehicle, pushing, ramming, or pulling the ATM in hopes of getting the machine to break open. The most typical types of vehicular attacks are what we call chaining or simply just ramming into the machine. Chaining involves wrapping a chain around either the whole machine or just a specific part. Most of the time it's the door on the seat. Attaching the chain to the vehicle, using both the chain and the vehicle to actually try to rip the machine apart and or off of it. Ramming is pretty self-explanatory. People just drive a vehicle straight into a machine. Some people seem to think that ATMs are similar to piñatas. Quick disclaimer for everyone, an ATM is actually not at all like a piñata. Please do not run into them with your car. Yes, people have actually tried this before with their own vehicles, believe it or not, and have since been easily caught, laughed at, and arrested. People of pure genius. Point is, an ATM is a strong foundation in order to not be knocked around by the world. And we Christians are no different. Fortunately for us, God has already done the hard work and laid the foundation for us. It is up to us to use his foundation to base our lives upon. Turn with me to Isaiah 28, starting at verse 14. It says this, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, 'We have made a pact with death, and with Sheol we have made a pact. The gushing flood will not reach us when it passes by, because we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception.'" This is talking to the rulers of Jerusalem at that time. Excuse me. They had turned their ways from the Lord and based their lives upon falsehood and deception. They thought they made a deal with death and had everything figured out. Church, if anyone thinks they can escape God's wrath by making some sort of deal, that person will be sadly mistaken. Then verse 16 says this, "Therefore the Lord God said, 'Look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable.'" That foundation is Jesus. Psalm 118:22 says this, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Is our chief cornerstone, and God's word our foundation. When we base our lives with the word and not falsehood, our foundation will be unshakable. Later on there in Isaiah 28, it says that their covenant with death will be dissolved, and that they will inevitably be trampled and destroyed if they didn't change their ways. Don't build destruction. Don't build your foundation on treachery. Make sure your foundation is strong. We see this concept put very clearly in Matthew 7, 24 through 25, widely known parables in the Bible. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and its collapse was great." Don't put ATMs on the beach. The waves and wind of the world will beat on us in so many different ways. They'll try to hook a chain around you and pull your spirit out, while they try to drive straight through you. Or prepared. Make sure that you're building your life upon that rock that is Jesus. Another key point to an ATM's security is that of an alarm. There's installed into their ATM. Why I'm kicking off. Alarms that notify select people in hopes of providing more time to potentially catch the thieves. Extremely loud screamer alarms to alert everyone in the area and maybe potentially scare off the thief, or alarms that completely shut the machine down, hopefully making it difficult or impossible to take out the contents. Most, if not all, alarms directly notify nearby law enforcement, meaning help can arrive in a matter of minutes. Though there's many different types of alarms that can be used in machines, they all serve the same general purpose, to warn of a potential attack on the machine. A vast majority of banks around the world rely on these warnings to notify and prevent attacks on their machines every single day. Without these alarms in place, a machine could go hours or even days before anyone knew that anything had happened to it. And at that point, the ATM could be broken beyond repair. As Christians, we need to live a life in solitude and not surround ourselves with people that we can trust. Just testing your attentiveness there. Not. As Christians, it should be imperative that we surround ourselves with people that we can trust. People that can serve as alarms to us, to warn us of potential attacks from the world, and to provide help when the world inevitably brings us down. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. It is not a chore to attend church. It is a blessing and a great privilege to be able to fellowship with one another. As the church, we need to act as alarms for each other, being there for one another and warning one another when we start to wander off course. When we have fellow brothers and sisters to lean on, our journey through this life can be better. Don't fall victim to going at it alone. Church, make sure your alarms are in place. The final component of physical security that we'll talk about is the safe. ATM safes come in all sorts of shapes, sizes, and thicknesses, just like us people. Safes have been around for a very long time, and although they've undergone many changes and advancements, their goal has always been the same: to protect. Whether it contains $1 billion, 1,000 gold, or even the secret Krabby Patty formula, a safe serves the purpose of keeping unwanted hands off of its precious cargo. In the case of an ATM, the safe will contain the dispensing and or depositing components of the machine and all the money that those components have been loaded with. Without a secure safe, an ATM would very quickly become a free money buffet and would likely be broken and empty before you could finish the word Proverbs 4:20-23. My child, listen carefully to my teaching and everything that I tell you. Never forget my words. Keep them safe in your mind. They will give true life to anyone who takes a hold of them. They will give health to your whole body. Be very careful to keep your mind safe. Thoughts that you think make you the person that you are. In a world where Satan is constantly trying to find a way into our hearts and minds, we need to think of ourselves like safes, safeguarding our hearts from the evil that surrounds us. Proverbs 18:10 tells us, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." Find refuge in the Lord, hear his words, and keep them safe in your heart. The second major ATM component that I'd like to talk about this evening is the machine's network. The network on an ATM is what allows the machine to connect with the bank and keep track of the status of the machine, as well as the transactions that take place and the money that is in the machine at all times. Through the network, the machine also communicates to the network provider, which can be thought of as like a Verizon or an AT&T, but for an ATM, kind of similar, I guess. And it communicates to any third parties involved with the machine as well, like QSI. While not even being physically visible, the network is a crucial component. Although it seems super boring, and it kind of is, the network connection is absolutely necessary for the operation of a machine. Without proper connection to its network, the machine will not be able to carry out the tasks that it was designed to do. Although the machine may have power and be on, with no connection, it is technically considered to be live. In the same way, if we don't have a constant connection with God in our daily lives, we cannot carry out the tasks that God designed us to do. Without a connection to our Creator, we may be living, but we are not truly alive. We must have a constant connection to God. How, though, do we keep a strong connection to our Maker? Well, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray continually or without ceasing. Or in Philippians 4:6, it says to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We also see in Acts 2:42 that those who were saved at Pentecost devoted themselves to prayer. Obviously, prayer is important, but is that how we have a strong connection to God? Yes, but it also goes further than just prayer. Let's read more into Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We read a few more things here that they had devoted themselves to. Not only prayer, but to the apostles' teaching, to breaking bread, and to fellowship. All of these being equally as important in our lives. While all these things are absolutely necessary in our Christian walk, we need to do our best to follow in those footsteps. I'd like to focus on the word there, devoted. That word devoted is important, not just because it explains what the early church did, but it serves as a connector. The word devoted here connects what they did, when they did it, and how often they did it. And it tells us how important these things are. Here's an example. I have devoted myself to the playing of basketball. And I play for maybe an hour or two-ish a week, if I've got the time for it. Sometimes I don't. Now, obviously, when you hear something like that, it's easy to pick up the sarcasm. Because, at least to some extent, we know what the word devotion means. To devote yourself is more than just to spend some time on something here and there. When someone truly devotes themselves to something, their whole life shifts and revolves around that thing. So, then, can we have a strong connection with God? By praying sometimes and really only thinking about it a few times a week? No. We keep a strong connection to God by devoting ourselves to Him and shifting our lives to revolve around Him and His Word. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." If something so simple as an ATM cannot find purpose without a connection, how much more does that apply to our lives? Only when we turn our lives to God, when we devote ourselves to Him, can we find our true purpose in life, which is to praise the Almighty Creator and to share His Word with those around us. We also see there in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to fellowship. We must also devote ourselves to having a connection with God and with our brothers and sisters around us. Just like we talked about with the alarms, it is imperative to keep that fellowship, that connection with our church family as well. But all of that starts with our connection to God. Truly a strong connection to God is a necessity in a Christian's life. Now, we've talked about security and about keeping the contents of our machines safe. But an ATM's function isn't just to keep money stored inside of it. Its main task is to dispense money when it's supposed to. With that being said, the third and final component I have for us this evening is what carries out the main task of the ATM, the dispenser. The dispenser, also called the cash handler or cash dispenser, is what takes your precious dollar bills and spits them out to you. There's lots of different types of cash dispensers, but they all serve the same purpose, dispensing cash. If an ATM isn't dispensing cash, it's not carrying out the task that it was intended to do. If there was an ATM that didn't dispense cash, would it really be much of an ATM? Likewise, as Christians, if you aren't dispensing your cash to me, then you're not carrying out... I'm just kidding. As Christians, if we're not carrying out that God has commanded us to do, are we truly Christians? Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Our job as Christians isn't just to hear the word and keep it to ourselves. Our job is to share it with others and to produce fruit. Cash dispensers in general aren't too overly complex. Sure, there's some intricate components on them, but understanding how they function enough to actually work on them isn't as difficult as some components of the ATM. It's not uncommon for them to get jammed up with money every so often, but for the most part, dispensers are pretty reliable. The most common reason that dispensers get jammed up isn't necessarily the dispenser itself. A lot of the time, it's the money that the dispenser was filled with. Old, torn, wrinkly, and tattered bills are often the culprit for dispenser jams, meaning that dispensers share a basic but important principle with us humans. Good in, good out. When we set our hearts and minds on the things above and we devote ourselves to God and His Word, we are filling ourselves with good. Turn with me to Matthew 12, verses 33 through 35. It says this, "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in him." In this passage, Jesus is kind of really giving it to the Pharisees. He had just driven a demon out of a demon-possessed man, and the Pharisees didn't like him one bit. In verse 24, they accused him of being a demon himself, stating that it is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives demons. Now, we won't go into the full scripture, but long story short, Jesus knew who the Pharisees truly were. They tried to make themselves out to be such good and holy people, but in reality, they were rotten trees producing rotten fruit. When we set our hearts and our minds on the things above, and we devote ourselves to God and His Word, we are doing our best to be good trees, and our lives will reflect that. Even the best cash dispensers in the world can get jammed because of some bad money. If we want to produce fruit, we must first grow a good tree. Fill yourselves with the Father and His Word. Set your minds on the things above, and then you will begin to produce good fruit. As we begin to wrap it up here tonight, a little bit early for you guys, you're welcome. If you're someone who's outside of Christ, someone who wants that security that we have in God, someone who is in need of a connection to our Holy Father, I encourage you to make that decision tonight. God has laid out His plan of salvation in Scripture, which says we must have faith in God, Hebrews 11:6 and Romans 10:17. We must believe in Christ and the words that He spoke in Mark 16:16. We must repent of our sins in Acts 3:19, confess Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32 and Romans 10, verse 9, then to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38 and Acts 8:38 and 39, Romans 6:3 through 11. And then finally, where most of us are at, to live faithfully for Christ until death, Revelation 2:10. Satan will continue. He doesn't care what you believe in, so long as it isn't the truth. When we have a strong foundation in the Father and His Word, when we protect our hearts and our minds by following the examples that are in the Word, and when we work to maintain that connection with our Heavenly Father by devoting ourselves to Him, then we can ensure that we are anchored in the truth of our Maker. Then it's our job not to keep all of that to ourselves, but to go out and share that message with a lost and dying and confused world. If you're outside of Christ, please make today your day of salvation. And if you're in Christ, I pray that you will continue to be a Christian anchored in the truth of our Maker. Please stand as Josh leads us.